Team start. We're good to go. Awesome. Woo! I love it when a plan comes together. So many good things happening in the world in which we live, and so many really good things that are happening. I want to give you just a brief update on a couple of things that are going on behind the scenes for our denomination. Would ask for you to keep a couple things in prayer. One of the things that we're doing, we've started a new program. It's called the Leadership Fellowship. And what that basically does, it's to help individuals that are interested in getting their Master's of Divinity degree and becoming pastors. It's a six-year program, 3 years while they're going through schooling, and then 3 years following that up afterward. And right now, we are interviewing four individuals that are interested in being involved in that program. And then here's the catch. The catch is, the agreement is that we'll put them in local congregations, and for the 3 years while they're going through and getting their master's degree, where they'll partner with a local church and get some experience, have some opportunities for growth, and then to go into the pastorate. And so would ask that you pray for these four individuals. One, that they're the right people that we can join and partner with, and also that we'll find churches that would be willing to partner with them as they go through and get their degree. And so keep that in your prayer, because we're doing interviews for that, and those things are happening. Also, we've had interest in our regional director, Earl Mills, is retiring at the end of this year, and we've kind of put out, if you're interested, apply, and we've gotten several applicants, and we'll be interviewing them over the next couple of weeks and beginning the process of making that decision also. And so would ask that you keep that in your prayers. I've been asked, Pastor, are you interviewing, or are you an interviewee? I am not applying for the position. Some people were thrilled, others may be disappointed, but I'm not headed that direction. That's not what God is laying on my heart. And so wanted you to know that, but do pray, because I am part of the interviewing group of individuals that will be kind of processing through those things. And so keep that in mind in the weeks to come. Also, we're going to have a baptism. I think we're going to have a couple of baptisms. Just because the summer schedule is happening and people's schedules are a little bit all over the place. And so getting everybody on the same Sunday is getting to be problematic. So we have at least one and probably two baptisms on Memorial Day weekend on the 29th, and then we'll be scheduling another set sometime after that. And so if you're interested in being baptized, please, please, please let me know, and we can incorporate that and pull that together as well. Okay, sound system. Lord, on the 23rd, 1 week from tomorrow, they're supposed to come and begin the process of getting our new board put in place and pulling that together. So the concept is, by Memorial Day weekend, which is the following weekend after that, we will have a new sound system, and things will sound normal up front rather than being blasted by speakers here in the front trying to figure out if everything's working. And so very excited about that. It looks very probable that that's going to happen, but keep that in your prayers. And then right on the tail of all of this, Vacation Bible School. It just starts in a few weeks. And there's a lot that needs to get accomplished, and we're right on track for that. VBS committee has called a meeting on the 24th at 7:30. So it's a week from Tuesday, and they want everyone that's interested or involved in Vacation Bible School to be at that meeting. I've been promised that it's going to be a half hour, and we're going to hit the ground running and go through everything, make sure we're all set for that on May the 24th, which is a Tuesday evening at 7:30, we'll be in the lounge here next to the sanctuary. So keep that in mind. VBS, it's coming. It's coming. Then in your bulletin, it says we're going to have a work day a week from tomorrow. Let's reschedule that to this coming Saturday. Make that the 21st instead of the 23rd. I would like to say that it was the secretary that made a mistake and it's all her fault. I may have seen one of the notes that the pastor sent her and it may have had the wrong date on it. Sorry. So this coming Saturday, we need everybody. We're going to be doing mulch and then some other possibilities, but the mulch is the big thing. Come bearing pitchforks, shovels, and or whatever we need to mulchify the bank here in the back and all around the church and trees and all that good stuff. We're only going to get 21 yards of mulch, and we should be able to spread that. If we have 21 people, you have 1 yard of mulch to spread. Pretty simple. If we get 42 people, you have half a yard of mulch to spread. We'll make that work. And this is basically across the board. Great time. Husbands, wives, kids, clan, neighbors, bring them all. We will mulchify this coming Saturday. We're going to start at about 9 o'clock and just go for the gusto. So look forward to seeing you on Saturday. We will be here until the job is done. No one is permitted to leave until... No, I'm just kidding. But do come for that. We would really appreciate that. And it does look so much better when the mulch is all spread. Then we also need 3 individuals to go represent our congregation on June the 4th. It's a Saturday to our annual business meetings for our region. And if you're interested in that, you can see John Nixon or myself, and we'll give you the details on that June the 4th. Prayer requests. I have several of them. The first is to remember and to keep Shirley Hackett in your prayer. Shirley lost her husband, Dell, this past week, and just keep her in your prayers as she kind of works through what life is going to be like. Also ask you to remember my mom, Mary Kaufman, in your prayer. She's having surgery on Tuesday afternoon and would have an interest in your prayers for her. And then remember Larry Watson, a friend of Nelson Wyrick's that has cancer and their surgery, and just keep him in your prayers. And also remember Dorothy Slater. Dorothy is in your bulletin as having pneumonia at Worcester Hospital. She got over the pneumonia, went to Westview Manor in order to kind of have some therapy. She's having some heart issues. She's back at Worcester Hospital. I got a text this morning from her daughter, Sharon, and things are not looking good for Dorothy. We don't want Dorothy to be in pain. She's 95 years old, and if this is her time, this is her time. If not, we just keep her in prayer that things begin to turn around and get better so she can return back home. But do keep Dorothy Slater in your prayers. Any that I have missed? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are a great and gracious God. You are a God that loves us where we are and encourages us and strengthens us and Lord, motivates us to draw closer to you, and for that we give you thanks. We thank you for all that you've done, Lord, for providing salvation through the cross, for being there when we need you, for the promises that you've put in your word, and Lord, for the assurance in knowing that you hear us when we pray. And today, we just come before you with these individuals that we've mentioned and those that are on our hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would intervene in each situation, that your will would be accomplished. We ask you to be with the individual as well as their family, doctors, nurses. Lord, we just ask that you work through those things to draw people closer to you. Lord, we ask for your healing power. And we ask, Lord, that you would be there and working in the midst. And Lord, we give you praise because we know that your will needs and must be accomplished. And we don't exactly know what that means, but we do trust you. We ask, Lord, that you would be there and working in each situation. And Lord, come and walk with us as a body of believers, that, Lord, we would continue to join together because we know, Lord, that as we join together one with another, there's nothing that we can't accomplish because you are here in our midst, and we thank you for that. And we ask for your ongoing guidance and direction. Lead us, Lord, into the future. Assist us to share with the world the difference that you have made. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to take a couple of moments. Let's stand together. Welcome one another to our service today. Shake hands, bump elbows, smile, whatever works.
Good morning, everybody. Would you please stand and join a time of singing? We're going to start with number 672. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And now, number 597, take my life and let it be consecrated. We're singing verses 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold,
not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Every power as thou shalt choose. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
You may be seated.
Our scripture this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Thank you, Lord, for your true word.
If the kids want to come on down. Well, how are you guys doing this morning? Okay, do you know what these things are? Spoons. You know, I was so afraid that some of you were going to say paddle sticks. Because that's what my mom used them for when I was a kid. She would be cooking in the kitchen, and whatever utensil she had, that's what she would be coming after me with. Well, mostly my brother, because I was the good child. Okay, I'll tell them the truth. Yeah. But these different things have different things that we do with them, like this one. This one is an awesome spoon for scooping out ice cream. Good one. I like that. This is a good one for kind of well, my mom used to break the spaghetti so it wasn't super long. And she would scoop it out with a spoon with holes in it so that you could drain the water off before she put it on our plates. I always liked that. And one like this was maybe for green beans or peas. Do you guys like peas? You do? Some of you do. God bless you. The rest of you, I relate. And this one, yeah, it just got a cool pattern in it. And I liked it, so I picked it up. And then there's this one. This is for cake and pie. I might mention it works very well for cherry pie. Yeah. But all of these things, do you know what we call them all together besides just spoon? Utensils, yes, that's true. That wasn't what I was looking for. Come up with another word. Help me. Tools? Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. What we call these serving spoons or serve, and what we do is we use them to scoop up and serve somebody, to put food on their plates. And serving is something that's really important, and I want to read a verse from Deuteronomy way back in the Old Testament. 13th chapter, 4th verse, it says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave to him. See, all of these things are used for serving. And when you serve, you can serve yourself and you can serve others. And if you don't serve yourself, you won't have anything to eat and you won't be able to serve others. And so you need to be doing both. And the Bible tells us over and over that we were put here and our purpose is to grow in our walk with God. And so that's serving ourselves and becoming close to God and then serving other people. Giving to others is so important. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the great things that you've done. We thank you that, Lord, you ask us and desire to have a relationship with us, that we can know you and we can talk to you through prayer, and that's really cool. We just ask, Lord, that you would help us that we might serve others, that we might share with them how awesome you are. And Lord, be there when we need help. Lord, watch over us each and every day. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't leave. Don't leave. Today is the dollar offering. Now, we had a service in here yesterday, and so they just appeared. Well, wonderful. Yay! Well, you know what to do. There we go.
She gets a little feisty with her giving, doesn't she? Yeah, go ahead and pour them in. Awesome. Can we get everybody? We don't want to miss it all.
Awesome. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and then you can put your bucket back there. Oh, good job. Good job. Okay. Yeah, you can go ahead. Good job. Yeah. They're so cute. We're so privileged to have them. It's awesome. As we continue in our worship this morning, this time we'll receive our tithes and our offerings. So if our ushers would please come forward. Bow for prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, for your provision for each and every day, and your watchful care. And Lord, our response to all that you've done is out of gratitude to give back to you. Lord, we know your word, and we know that you've said over and over that we are to give a portion, a 10%, a tithe of what you've given to us. And Lord, we just ask you to assist us that we might rise to that, and Lord, to give generously both to your work and to the helping of others. And so, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this offering. Lord, assist us as a congregation that, Lord, we might continue to gather together and accomplish all that you set before us. And Lord, just watch over us each and every day. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue to walk down this road a little bit, touching on some of the basic elements of Christianity. And I'm not saying that I kind of put 4 weeks together and that in these 4 weeks we're touching all the basics of Christianity, because I could preach for months. I'm not. But we could. But I am saying I wanted to hit like the real solid stuff that if we can keep these things kind of squared up in our lives, it gives us a platform to continue to grow and to develop. And just want to kind of review a little bit as we've kind of walked down this road. We started talking about prayer and that how that is our communication with God. And we kind of went through six steps in order to kind of make sure we're making that connection to the God that loves us and that we love. And we kind of walked through, we need to be able to be silent. And we talked that sometimes it takes a lot of time to get all the things that are stirred up within us out so that we can be silent before the Lord. And then we can read some scripture and meditate on it. And meditation in our world kind of gets a bad rap. And it's not an emptying of your mind. It's actually a filling of your mind with the scripture that you read. And then spending some time in connection with God and being with Him. And then just kind of in His presence to contemplate, what is the scripture that I read? You know, what's it saying? What's it talking about? And then kind of headed to the last step, which is application. How am I going to use this in my life? How is this going to impact who I am and how I live and lift me up to move me into the future? And we talked about prayer. And then we talked about Scripture and that Scripture is alive. And it seems in my own life, and I've heard in the lives of so many individuals, that Scripture, it almost jumps out at us when we have a need in our life and we'll be reading through and something we've never seen. All of a sudden, a word just grabs our attention that we haven't seen before. It seems as though with the Holy Spirit in us, He's able to bring those things out of Scripture to kind of help us in our daily living, that it's living and active and profitable, and that it steers us in the right direction and helps us as we live our daily lives. And then last week, we talked about confession, and confession that leads to healing. That there's something about sharing with not only one another, but with God, the things that are happening in our hearts and in our lives, and that communication on an ongoing basis. God knows everything that we did, but there's something in our humanness that as we admit that and state it back to the God that loves us, it clears the air and opens that channel, that connection that we have that assists us to heal and liberates us to live in that freedom that comes from being a Christian, that I'm not bound up by rules and regulations. I'm free to be who God has called me to be. And what a wonderful situation that is, to be able to truly be free. Wow, free. The world in which we live in being free almost seems to run contrary to each other, even our own country and freedom, and what exactly does that mean in the different parts and aspects in our political system. And no, I'm not going to go down that road. But I do know this, that these things, as we get these put in place, the natural outpouring of all of these things being in place is service. And service is what I want to talk about this morning. And thank you, Dee, for reading those verses for us. And it's just when we think about spending time with God, I've always been amazed. And it's kind of I think it's a guy thing because I am one. And I don't know if it's a girl thing because I ain't one. But it seems to me that as guys, it's really hard to sit in a circle and talk about things. But you take the same group of guys and you put in the center of the circle a fire, and we can share things that we would never share any other way. Being on a roof and pounding nails, we're able to communicate the things that are near and dear to us. It's almost like as we're doing something, that kind of assists us to be able to communicate with each other. At least it seems that way to me in my life, and maybe girls do that too. I'm not one. But I think that there's something special about service, the doing part of Christianity. Now, the beginning of this year, I talked about there is a knowledge, there is a basis for God's word and having that in our heads. And then that needs to filter down to our hearts. It's know and then be. It's the being part that we often struggle with the most. We want to jump right to the doing part. And we have to be careful that we don't end up just doing for doing's sake. And so that's why it's the fourth message is about service and not the first, second, or third, because the first, second, and third is to enable the being part of our Christianity to grow and develop so that it busts forth in service. So many times we have knowledge and then we want to go. The being is the reason that we're able to go. So service is an outpouring, an outcome of our relationship with God. So as Christians, you know, I remember as a kid, and I remember even as a pastor watching some of the kids in the service, as we get closer to Christmas, they can't sit still. They're so excited about what's coming, they almost vibrate in the seat. I relate to them because I'm the same way. I just get so excited about Christmas, I want it. And I can't sit still, and even when I want to, I have to move around. I just can't contain that joy of giving. And I think the same thing should be happening within our hearts and minds as we look to service, because we know what God has said. We have been with God. Our relationship is solid to the point we can't hold it back anymore. It has to come out in some way, shape, or form. And we begin to look, how can we work with others? And not only within the church, but outside of the church. Here not long ago, I was privileged and asked to go to a Young Life fundraising dinner, and I hadn't been to one for a while. We as a congregation support Young Life in our area, and I got to go. Now, Young Life dinners in the past, I've been to, I don't know, 10 or 15 of them. And they're all a bunch of old people in a dark room, and then they run some teenagers across, and they share stories about how great God is and how he's come and intervened in their world and turned them upside down for God, and it's just been awesome. And then they trot off, and they end the evening with, give me money. I mean, that's kind of the motif. This was not that way. I knew that because when I walked in, we were right on time. About 10 minutes late. And as we walked into the room, I'm passing tables, getting to the place where Linda and I were supposed to be. And as I'm looking around, I'm seeing, oh, I know them. You know, I see them on Sunday mornings from church. They sit on this side. And I see, oh, there's another couple. They sit on this side. Oh, there's another couple from church, and they sit on this. I don't know, there must have been 7 or 8 of our young couples were there supporting Young Life. And I'm going, this is how it should be. Because I think, and I'm kind of infusing into their world, but I think because of what they know God is doing and their being with God, their relationship is developing, they want to help others, and here was a platform they were able to support Young Life that's going and making a difference in high schoolers. I think that's phenomenal. Y'all, just, you're awesome. Thank you so much. It made my day. It made my weekend. It made my year. This was terrific. And yes, they asked for money at the end, but it was so exciting to be the old geezer that was there. I may have been the oldest person in the room. There is a good possibility. I embrace that. I think it's awesome. I think God is doing great things in our midst. So I have two things that I want to talk about when it comes to service and kind of pulling that out in our hearts and in our minds this morning. And you remember the old WWJD? Now, if you're old as I am, you remember the little bracelets, the little rubber bandy bracelets we put on, and it was WWJD, and it all stemmed back to a youth group someplace that was trying to make a point with their youth group, and it just blew up, and it was just awesome. And anytime those of us from that time frame see WWJD, our mind goes directly there, man. It was just a marketing ploy that kicks. It was just awesome. But I think it's one of those things that we can still use that in that as we live our lives, we should be asking, well, what would Jesus do? I mean, in the situations that we find ourselves, what would Jesus do? In Matthew chapter 20, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." I think once we make that connection to God, once we learn about who he is and that develops within us, we won't be able to keep silent. You know, I remember growing up, and I remember looking at the congregation I grew up in a what I would say a healthy church. We had people from all ages in that church, but our old people looked like they were sucking on persimmons. God bless them. They were so stoic in their faith. I just wanted to go over and tickle them on most Sunday mornings. I mean, because it just, that wasn't the God that I was experiencing. And it took me a long time to understand where they were coming from and why it was that way. And I was able to understand that. I got it, but they still looked like they were sucking on persimmons. And that hurt me. I wanted them to know the God like I knew God. The God that laughs. I think God looks down at us and giggles a lot. I mean, I look at my kids and how much joy they bring me and how much I laugh at them and how we, God's got to be getting a hoot out of a lot of things. That I wonder how they're going to deal with this. And I think he does. I think he watches us and he's right there to help. Just like we're right there with our kids. When the curveballs come, when we're really going, okay, I think my kids can handle this, but let's watch. We're right there so that if they can't, we can scoop in and walk with them and help them through. But by golly, if they can figure it out, wouldn't this be awesome? And I think God stands there just ready to jump all the time. I think he loves us so much. He wants us to succeed. And so he works the parameters so that we can. He wants us to serve him, to serve all people. What about the weirdos? I mean, come on, let's be honest. You may call them somebody as the unusual individuals, the difficult dudes, whatever you want to call it. There are individuals, I love them. Love them dearly. This isn't to throw anybody under the bus. They're just hard. And you know, in the Bible says that in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And we talked a little bit about this, but we really need to be loving on everybody. Well, yeah, but do you know what Russia's doing? Yes. Those folks need prayer. Yeah, but what about... Yeah. Do all your whatabouts and then just pray for them all. Because I found most of the time in those situations, as I pray for them, it's me that changes. It's an amazing thing that God does. Now, are we willing to really, really connect with God and serve one another? A couple things to kind of ice this in. The Bible tells us that God uses both our strengths and our weaknesses. Paul said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and results and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, it is then that I am strong. It seems to me in my life that as I connect with the God that loves me, as that connection grows and works out in my life, I find I am falling so short so often in so many ways. But God didn't call me. He doesn't provide. He doesn't put me on a path to fall down. God said, hey, let's see what Arnie does with this one. There's no way he can handle that. Let's just roll him out there. I mean, that's not it. God says, I know that you can succeed. And when we go into those areas where we're weak, I know I can't do this, so I have to rely on the God that loves me. And as I rely on God, God's right there and fixes things and takes care of things that is far beyond what I could ever even imagine happening. Because he loves us. And so in my weakness, that's usually where I'm the strongest because I have to rely on God. It's in my strengths that I often struggle because it's easy. And when it's easy, I do things on my own strength rather than the strength of the God that loves us. Sometimes it's easier for God to work through our weaknesses. And we need to understand that God loves us enough that he'll never put us in a situation where he's out of control. And he walks with us. And he'll give us what we need. Does that mean, Pastor, that we'll never fail? Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, wouldn't that be fun? But we have a definition of failure that's different from God. God's definition of failure is when we don't listen to him. Our definition of failure is where something is or isn't a success from our point of view. Are we willing to rely upon the God that loves us? For there's so many things that we're able to do if we just think about it. I visit folks and a lot of them are homebound and limited with what they're able to do, and they're like, well, what can I do? And I'm like, well, he said, can you go like this? And they're like, okay. I said, yeah, and just put that to work on your phone. Call somebody, tell them that you care. It, you just need one finger, you know, even short ones. I mean, it's not hard. See, we think everything has to be so grandiose in order to be to be working and to be doing something for God. But if you got one finger that works, you can make a phone call. And sometimes a phone call is all that's needed for success in God's eyes. See, because God calls us and asks us to live for him as we live our lives. It's not hard. The Great Commission, it says, go and make disciples of all nations. Okay, we got that. We're supposed to do that. That word go, it needs the broadened out a little bit. I believe, and as I read it and have studied it, it's as you're going, make disciples of all nations. Now that's something I can do. I can get my fingernails into that. I can get a hook in that. As I'm living my life, live for God. So as I'm doing the things that I do, if God is in my heart, then the world sees the difference that he's made. So as I'm living my life, live for God. So whatever it is, sometimes it's at the gas station. This past week, I was at Circle K, and I hassle the girls. Well, there's guys too, the checkout people, and we were going back and forth, and I was heckling them on Thursday, and they came out because I said I dropped my cup spilled all over the floor, and I broke my refill mug, and we're going back and forth, and I'm whining. And making a big show of it, and no one else was in the store, and we just had some fun with it, and they got me a mop and told me to get to work, and And anyhow, I went back and forth on this interplay. And I did. I cleaned it all up. Well, I made the mess. You know, my mom did some things right. And I cleaned it all up. And well, I asked, I said, well, I need another mug, you know. Have you seen the mugs at Circle K that they have? I looked at the bottom. It's 104 ounces. Like, who needs that? It's in my office if anyone would like to see just how big it is. You know, that's what they came out with. Well, I mean, yeah, in the moment, Lynn, there's a slight charge on the credit card. but in that interplay, as we live life, and when it was all done and the laughter kind of finally died down and I walked out there with way too much liquid to drink, she said, you're one of the few, if any, people that would drop a mug in our store and would actually mop the floor. We really didn't think you would. Service as we are living our lives, and had a chance to share. A few weeks ago, shared with a man by the name of Carl who works at AutoZone. I was at AutoZone buying windshield wiper blades. You can't buy windshield wiper blades. You have to buy the whole thing. And they're expensive. Conversation with the guy, we ended up talking for 45 minutes at the front of the store. 2 weeks ago, he sat right back there on Sunday morning. Where's it going to go to? I don't know. He said we weren't exactly what he was looking for, but he said he might be back. You know? Who knows what God's going to do as we live our lives? Are we living for Him as we do the things that God is calling us to do? Secondly, is to understand we are made for more. Do you ever get that feeling there's more to life than what I have? Was it the Lion King that goofy monkey baboon, whatever he is, tells him, you are more than what you are? You ever get that feeling that there's more than what you are? And the reason for that is with God, anything is possible. And so many times we're afraid to dream. We're afraid to go above and beyond. We're really afraid to dream because, well, what happens if it doesn't happen? And then there's the other side. What happens if it does? You know, and so it's just easier to stay in our lane. You ever heard that? Just stay in your lane. What if I don't like it? I look at the lane to the left and the right of me, and some of those lanes look pretty nice. I like to go all over the place. Well, you'll never win the race. Maybe I'm not supposed to. Are there times when we need to make a difference? Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Are we willing to move forward, to do what God's calling us to do and to allow that to be enough? To try maybe new things, maybe to fail with gusto. I don't like to fail. Well, I don't like it either. But I want to follow God, and if in order to accomplish His purposes I have to fail, then let's fail. Let's make a big production out of it. Let's make it good. Let's do the best failure for the God that loves us. And sometimes that's what we have to do. And it's not bad, it's not wrong, it's what needed to happen in order for people to get from where they are to where God wants them to be. And somebody got to crash and burn. Well, crash and burn, but do it your best. You see, it seems to me that we weren't saved by good works. We were saved to good works. They're not a, they're not a, How do I want to say it? All too often, we try and earn our way to heaven. And that ain't it. That's going straight from your brains, from the knowing to the doing. And we're going to crash and burn if we try that. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to know who he is so that we can know who he is. Because when that happens, then what we do, it just becomes part of it. Mary's been smiling at me. She's always got a smile on her face. And I just love her so much. And it's just so awesome that she's part of our congregation because we know her history. And we know what happened. And every time I look back, you know, it could be, how are you going to look at that? I know this. Mary loves Jesus. She's more than happy to tell us. And she goes home with all the blanks filled in and she takes it to her dad, makes sure he knows just what was going on Sunday morning. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're saved by God that loves us. And as we get to know him, there's just a natural outpouring of that. We don't have to force it. It's like the kid on Sunday morning, Christmas morning, just waiting. Sometimes they're almost like this to come down for the children's sermon. I know it's not because the children's sermon is so good. It's because after they come here, they get to leave. But they come, they're excited. And that excitement plays out in the world because they see the things that we're excited about. And we're excited in our relationship with God. When we do the service, it comes across in a whole different light. And I'm asking this morning that we kind of reposition service in our hearts. That it comes because of what God has done. Because of my relationship with God, here's the things that I want to do. Because I've seen really weird things happen to individuals. I've seen individuals that are called to work with junior hires. He does that. I've seen individuals called working with the little kids, with the big kids, with the teenagers, with the senior hires, to college age, to young adults. It's just an amazing thing. I've seen people called to work with Young Life. I've seen people called to stand in the background and fill in the gaps so that other people can be up front. I've just seen God do some amazing and wonderful things, but only when our being is so connected with the God that loves us that it just bursts forth. Because in that, the world sees the difference that he has made. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to get it right. Maybe it's the order. Maybe they all kind of happen together. I'm not 100% sure of all of this, but I know this. I know this, that being with you is of the utmost importance. And I know having knowledge so that we can better understand you, that plays into it. But being with you, our relationship with you is so important. And today as we talk about the doing, the service, the outpouring of that you've put within us is so important. Help us to understand and realize that we really need to make sure that we are with you so that the things that we do might just flow from you, that individuals' lives might be touched and changed on account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Walk with us, Lord. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join us in our closing hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised, number 676.
O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, hear thee speaking in accents clear and still. Above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee. Where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to thee. Give me grace to follow my master and my friend.
As we go from this place, may God's hand be upon us to guide us and direct us. May our relationship with Him be so strong that it bubbles up within us, that we might share it with the world. Amen.